You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. My subject this morning, thinking God's thoughts on healing. Thinking God's thoughts on healing. What does God think about healing? What does God think about saving the lost? What does God think about deliverance? Well, if you want to know what God thinks, you've got to go to the Word of God. You will find God's thoughts in this wonderful book called the Holy Bible. Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his paths, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God wants us to have his thoughts. And the Bible, the Holy Bible, it contains the thoughts of God. My subject this morning, thinking God's thoughts on healing. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I ask you to do what only you can do, to let the Word of God go forth in great power and anointing. Lord, open our eyes. Give us revelational knowledge of your will. Give us revelational knowledge, God, of what you want to do for your people. And Lord, give us revelational knowledge so that we will be rooted and grounded, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Bless your people. Seat us together in heavenly places. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. If you want to know what God thinks about certain subjects, you have to ask yourself, what does the Word of God, what does the Bible say about that subject? And so today I want to look at what God thinks about healing. So many people, they know what their denomination thinks about healing. Well, your denominational thoughts, they may agree with the Word of God, and they may not agree with the Word of God. And we all face in this life the dilemma of sickness and disease. There's some things that are just common to man. And so you got to learn to fight the good fight of faith. And many of you are fighting things right now that are coming against your body. Can I get a witness? Are you fighting something that's coming against your body? And you can be held captive by your thinking and never get a healing from God. Just one thought, one wrong thought, can put you on a path to where you will not get the blessing that God has purposed for your life. God's word brings light. The Bible says, at the entrance of thy word, it giveth light. And if you want light on healing, you need some healing scriptures. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Thank God. You can know the truth about healing, and you can know the truth about, and when you know the truth about healing, it will make you free. Aren't you glad that you learned that God loves you, that you can be saved? That Jesus Christ came as your sin bearer, went to an old rugged cross, that he was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day, and he was your sin substitute. And because he took your punishment, you don't have to die and go to a devil's hell. You can make heaven your eternal home. Now that's good news. That's news to shout about right there. Go on, praise God for his goodness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So many people, they don't realize that if you're going to have faith for healing, then you got to know the Word of God on healing. Faith is what pleases God. And if you don't have faith, you can get it to come. Faith may not be here yet, but it's coming down the road. Paul said, it is the word of faith which we preach. And right now I am preaching the word of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many know that? Go on, praise God for that. Hallelujah. So if you want to have faith for healing, then you must get healing scriptures into your mind and then down into your spirit. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Then faith grows. Then faith, the Bible says it grows exceedingly. And faith produces. What does faith produce? It produces whatever is in the seed of the word of God that is preached. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made out of things which do appear. God just spoke and said, let there be. And whatever God spoke, it came into existence. The word of God, it produces something. Faith produces. And faith has God's power in it to release God's blessings into your life. Hallelujah. But faith will never be there unless you get the word of God into your heart. Hallelujah. Many people who are sick, they don't know one healing scripture. Not one. They know what their denomination teaches. But it's not. That's just not enough. Amen. And all they know is that some of the denominations, they teach that healing is not for today. I've heard preachers from most major denominations. I preached in a lot of different churches, and many of them teach that healing is not for today, or that it is not God's will to heal you. Yet so many people are struggling. They're struggling with cancer. They're struggling with AIDS. They're struggling with heart disease. They're struggling with arthritis and so many other things, and people need to know what God's word has to say about these things. We need to know what God thinks about all of this. I was going to bring the book, and I walked out without it, but there was a Methodist evangelist named John G. Lake, and they had a curse of sickness in their family. Listen to what he said, and I quote, I lived in a family which for 33 years was never without an invalid in the home. Before I was 24 years of age, we had buried four brothers and four sisters, and four other members of the family were dying. Hopeless, helpless, invalids. I started my own home, and I married a beautiful woman. And when our first son came, in a short while, I saw the same devilish train of sickness that had followed my father's family. It had come into my home. My wife became an invalid. My son was a sickly child, and I developed in my spirit a cry for deliverance. My soul cried to God for deliverance, but I knew nothing about the subject of healing. In other words, he didn't know any healing scriptures. I continue. He said, but I finally got to the place that my supreme outcry was for deliverance. Tears were shed for over 3 years, for I could hear the cry and the desperation of my family for deliverance. My heart cried. My soul sobbed. I wept tears of desperation. I wanted to help, but I didn't know enough to call directly on God for physical difficulties. But one day the Lord of heaven came our way, and in a little while, the cloud of darkness, that midnight of hell, that curse of death was lifted. He went and heard Alexander Dowie preach a sermon on divine healing. And the light of God shone into our lives, into our home, and we learned the truth of Jesus, and whereby the divine power of God healed and delivered. End of quote. That man, John G. Lake, he went on to become an evangelist. His wife was healed. His children were healed. And he went to Africa, South Africa, to become a great evangelist to that nation. He came back to America, to Spokane, Washington, and he had so many healings that they named him Dr. Lake. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was a man mightily used of God. While he was there in Africa, he discovered that there was a law called the law of the spirit of life. The Bible says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What the law could not do is weak through the flesh. God sent his own son, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, sin in the body, sickness and disease. All of the bad stuff comes from the devil. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And every good and perfect gift, it comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. So, because of the sickness and disease that I see rampant in the churches, in the body of Christ, and I've been attacked my own self, and God has given me miracles, miracles in my family, my heart cries out for the deliverance of people. I see people bound by all types of chains, but alcohol and drugs, sickness and disease, but it does not matter what the need is. Jesus Christ is well able to deliver. Go on and praise him that you serve a God who delivers. People need salvation. They need deliverance. They need the healing power of God. There are demon-possessed people, devil-oppressed people, people who've had the doctor say, there's nothing else that I can do. People, sons and daughters, mothers, husbands and wives who've had curses come into their family. And I want to tell you that the word of God can stop that curse and you can have freedom in your home. God is a good God. Amen. He's a great God. I've seen things, and I know you've seen families where there's something that just runs through that family. Daddy was an alcoholic. The son becomes an alcoholic. And it just keeps on running. And that there may be a sickness of mental illness where somebody has to stand up and break the power. Stand in the gap. God said, I sought for a man that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge for the land that I should not destroy. There's families that they gamble all the time. They can't help themselves. They are driven by a compulsive spirit. When you say demon spirits in American church today, people think you've gone off the deep end. Let me tell you, there are demon spirits that have been turned loose, and the devil has come down in great power. But we've been given authority and power over all the power of the devil. Go on, praise God for the blessings. Amen. So today I want to give you four reasons that will bring faith for healing into your family. Number one, God was the healer in the Old Testament. God was a healer in the Old Testament. When he delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, they had been slaves for 430 years. You've seen people return that have been captive, and we get pictures of it on the television and how their bodies are emaciated. But can you imagine these people? They were beaten down. They were no doubt full of sickness and disease. 430 years of oppression. They were so frail and barely able to get along. They had been under the tyranny of Pharaoh. No doubt they had fevers and disease and sicknesses of all kinds. But I want you to look at Psalm 105, verse 37. The Bible says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Thank God that God, he can bring you out. I want you to know that it can be the same way for you and your family too. Hallelujah. He brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person among their tribe. Now, they had the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. Before they left, they celebrate the Passover meal, and they took some hyssop, dipped it in the blood, and took the blood of the Lamb and struck it on the left side of the doorpost, struck it on the right side of the doorpost, and struck it in the center. And when they did that, it was a picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a shadow of the things that were to come. When Jesus cut the covenant with his own precious blood, it was a new and a better covenant established upon better promises. But he brought them forth with silver and gold. And that blood on that doorpost, it represented the blood that was poured out at Calvary. And I can just see an old granddaddy. He's all bent over with arthritis, and he can barely walk and barely get along. And he walks under the doorpost, and all of a sudden, snap, crackle, pop. Woo! And he starts dancing and praising God. He's healed instantly. And God is so good. You know, the Bible says he brought them all out, and there was not one feeble person. Now, can you imagine a mass healing like that? 3 million people that had been beaten down, suffering in all types of bondage, and then God healed them all. And then after they got over to the other side, look at what God said in Exodus 15:26. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to all his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the disease upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Hallelujah. He said, I am your Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Now, that word put means permit. When God, what God is really saying is, I will protect you from the disease that I did not protect the Egyptians from. See, they didn't have my blessing. They didn't have my mercy. They were not in covenant with me. They were a rebellious people. So disease ran rampant upon them. But if you will diligently hearken to the voice of my word, if you will do what is right in my sight, if you will give ear to all my commandments, if you will keep my statutes, then I will protect you from all of those diseases. Hallelujah. Now I want you to notice how God revealed himself. We did a study recently on the names of God in Exodus 15:26. He said, "For I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer." Hallelujah. He said that I'm going to reveal myself. That word Jehovah means the God of revelation, the God who reveals himself. And in the Old Testament, there are 8 compound redemptive names that he revealed himself to. When they came out of Egyptian bondage, the first thing he said to them is, "I am your Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healer." They couldn't understand what had happened. Think about it. 3 million people, and every one of them, they had been healed, and they're wondering, how did this happen? God said, "I did it. I did it. I'm your Jehovah Rapha. I'm your healing." Hallelujah. See, he's more than a doctor. He's a healer, and he heals all our disease and takes care of all sickness and all infirmities. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, healing was there, and God revealed himself as the healer. Point number 2. When God came to this earth in a human body, Jesus demonstrated the love of God by healing people. He announced his mission in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's in his own hometown. He goes into the temple. He picks up the scroll. He begins to read the book of Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." Luke 4:18, brother. Luke 4:18. I want them to see I'm preaching the word of God. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus said, "I am here to announce Jubilee." See, back in the Old Testament, when they heard the cry of Jubilee in the 50th year, all debts were canceled. Every slave had to be let go. Hallelujah. And Jesus shows up on planet Earth and he says, "I am the one you've been looking for. And I'm here to announce Jubilee because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. See, those who are bound by the trials of life, Jesus said, "I've come to free them." He said, "I didn't come to do my own will, but I came to do the will of the Father which has sent me." Now, I want you to look at this verse of scripture because Jesus is telling us exactly what he did in this verse. Look at John 4:30. I want to just let this thing sink into your mind, because this is a controversial subject, but I'm not giving you controversy. I'm giving you what the word of God says. John 5:30, Jesus said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." Do you see that? I'm preaching scripture. Hallelujah. When Jesus functions in his ministry, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. When he did it while he was on earth, when he does it today, he is revealing and giving us a revelation of the will of the Father. Some people say, "Well, we know that God does heal some people, but you know, God doesn't heal everybody." Well, if you say that, I promise you this, the devil will whisper right in your ear and say, "You're certainly not one of those that God wants to heal. You're one of those that God left out. You don't belong to that bunch God wants to heal. Why, God just passed over you." You see, the devil's a liar. And it's God's will to heal everybody. That's why he's given us doctors. That's why we have nurses. That's why we have hospitals. That's why we have medicines. Amen. You know, some people say, "Well, it's not God's will to heal everybody." And they go to the doctor. They take every pill they can get. They do anything and everything they can to go against God's will. Well, God has willed healing. Amen. there is a sickness unto death. We're not here to stay forever. Amen. We're not going to stay on this planet. But you don't have to be sick to die. You can just go on home. Moses climbed a mountain 120 years of age. And God took him. Hallelujah. I like to go out like that. You've heard me preach it. When I go, praise God, I'd like to be about 95 or 100 up preaching the word of God, dancing. I said, if I had to get me a cane, I'd dance around it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. They're on my trail. They're following me everywhere I go. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a great God. He's a healing God. And he wants his people healed. And if we're going to see it, somebody's got to be bold enough and full enough of God to stand up and preach it and do signs and wonders and give demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a praying church. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't mean to be critical, but it seems that doctors are more in favor of healing than some preachers are. Let me tell you what preachers preach. Preachers preach what they know. They preach what they've been taught in seminaries. Amen. And too many of them have been taught that healing is not for today. They preach that the gifts of the Spirit ended with the last apostle. And when they do that, they're not preaching the Bible. They're preaching their denominational doctrine. They're preaching what they were taught in seminary. I was down at the beach years ago, and I saw one of my buddies that was in the Marine Corps. We're both Vietnam veterans, and he was out there, and so we decided to swim out into the water. And we got to swimming for a while, and, you know, they taught us in the Marine Corps how to swim, survival swimming. It's called drown proofing. And my daughter, Jessica, she came and she said, "Daddy, do you know what time it is?" I said, "No, I don't know what time it is." We'd been out there, what about 3 or 4 hours. 4 hours swimming in those waves, drown proofing. And he was telling me that he was going to a seminary over in Wake Forest. And he was telling me about what God didn't do anymore. I said, "What are you talking about?" I see God healing people everywhere I go. He said, "No, Jerry." He said, "All that ended with the apostles. When John died, it all ended." I said, "Well, I can just see John. He's lying over there on the bed, and they got a long line of people they're bringing in to be healed. And John, he says, 'Be healed in Jesus' name.' And he goes out shouting, 'Be healed.' I said, and all of a sudden, the man is holding his arm up, can't feel the pulse, and he looks down, and John has died. I said, 'John died, but let me tell you something. Jesus is still alive. Hallelujah. And Jesus is still doing miracles, and Jesus is still doing signs and wonders. He is our Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. He said, 'I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee.'" Amen. People preach what they're taught in seminaries unless they have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, unless a desperate cry comes into their heart to see people saved and delivered and healed, unless they begin to seek God in prayer and fasting. All they can preach is what they preached and heard in the seminary. Amen. God wants some Holy Ghost preachers. Amen. Now, when I first started seeing people heal, I had people tell me, "Now, you know, the devil can heal too." How many of them have heard somebody say that? "You know, the devil can heal too." No, it's not his nature to heal. I studied a lot under Dr. Lester Sumrall. He's going to be with the Lord in 150 nations of the world. God sent him back to America. He said, "My people need help." He said, "I want you to raise up an army of preachers." And Dr. Sumrall said, "I'll tell you one thing. It's not the devil's nature to heal." So God is a good God. The thief, the devil, your adversary is a roaring lion. He walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are in your brethren, which are also in the church. We're in a battle. We're in a great warfare, and we need to suit up and put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. See, when somebody says the devil, he can heal too, that's nothing more than the hiss of the serpent. He wants to inject his poison in you. The Holy Ghost wants to inject the word of faith into you. Jesus cast out devils. Jesus healed the people. And even back then, some people accused him of healing by the power of Beelzebub. No, he didn't heal by the power of Beelzebub, the devil. He healed by the power of God. Look at Acts 10:38, how God the Father anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus healed them all, and he healed them by the power of God. And too many today in this dark hours, they've denied the power of God and have given credit to the devil. Thank God for places like Westmoreland. Thank God for places that will preach the word of God that will set the captive free. I've had sickness attack my body, my family, this church. Everywhere I go, I see the works of the devil. He is on the loose, and it's time for the church to suit up and put on the whole armor of God. And that's why I'm preaching along this line of what the Word of God has to say, thinking God's thoughts. Because if you're going to get free, you're going to have to think like God thinks. Hallelujah. You couldn't get saved until you realized you were a sinner, that you were lost, and there was a devil's hell waiting for you. And you rose up. And you begin to cry out to God. God came looking for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the ministry of Jesus as he calls his disciples. Look at Matthew 4:19. He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And these men immediately left their net, and they began to follow Jesus. And look at verse 26. Verse 23, Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. If you would, brother, put Matthew 9:35 up there, because I was reading my Bible this year, and I happened to have memorized Matthew 9:35, but not Matthew 4:23. Look at Matthew 9:35. It looks like the same account, but it isn't. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The other one said all manner of sickness and disease. Now, Jesus said, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for men. What did he do? He did three things. Put Matthew 4:23 back up there, brother. What did he do? He went about teaching. He went about preaching. He went about healing. Some churches, all they have is teaching. That won't do. Some churches, all they have is preaching. That won't do. Some churches, all they have is healing. That won't do. Amen. You've got to have teaching, preaching, and healing. This world is a sick world, and the world needs a church that will be where that is called a house of prayer for all people. The world needs a place where God can be touched and where people can be saved, people can be healed, and people can be delivered. So Jesus came and he went about all the cities and all the villages and he healed every sickness and every disease. A leper came to Jesus one day. He said, Jesus said, if you will, if you want to, you can heal me. Jesus said, I want to. Ha ha. That word, I will, it is forever settled in heaven. God healed in the Old Testament. When God came in the flesh in Jesus Christ, the Son, he healed and showed forth the will of God. And I'm giving you the word this morning on what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I want to. And I want to tell you something. You need to be thoroughly convinced that not only can God heal, but God will heal you. Have you ever been there when you're on your back and you're just looking up at the ceiling? I've had the devil tell me one night I was lying there and it split my chest open, quadruple bypass. And I had no energy, no disease, and I'm sitting there praying, actually lying in my bed praying, looking at the ceiling. And his voice come to me and said, A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of God. I just kept my mouth shut. The voice came back a second time. Said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of God. Well, I knew he was quoting James. Then that voice come back a third time. See, the devil can appear as an angel of light. He'll quote the word to you. He quoted to Jesus in Matthew 4. He was quoting the word to me, but he came back the third time. He said, God's not going to heal you. You're double-minded. And God's not going to heal you. I said, you lying devil. I know that's not the voice of God. God says only believe. All things are possible to him to believe. God says if you can believe, you can see the glory of God. God says I've come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. I said, go you devil of darkness, go in Jesus' name. And I looked over and I picked up my Bible that was lying there. I said, God, I want you to know something. I'm not double-minded. I'm like old brother David. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed, hallelujah. And I believe you'll heal me. And look at me today, praise God. 72 years of age, full of God, full of God's power, full of the anointing. Hallelujah. Rosha, Ramakashata, Rimoko Shastalabahashataya. Glory to God. Woo! Some people said, I don't understand that. Well, you don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand how black and white cow can eat green grass and produce beautiful, wonderful white milk. And then you can churn it and all of a sudden you got some delicious butter. You don't have to understand it, praise God, to enjoy it. You don't have to understand everything about God to enjoy it. You just have to get into the river, glory to God, and let the river flow. If I can get my pint flowing, I can get your pint flowing. Pretty soon we got the river of God and God's people have come together. And on the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly they had some suddenness. God showed up. God came down. God's glory appeared in the temple. You're the temple of the living God. Hallelujah. Go and praise him, church. Hallelujah. Receive from the hand of the Lord. Reach out by faith and take it. Say, Lord, I come to get my miracle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus demonstrated the love of God by healing the people. Number three, healing was in the early church. In the book of Acts, or the book of Action, hallelujah, healing was there in that early church. Peter and John, they went to the temple one day, and they found a lame man, been lame from his mother's womb, and he was begging for money. And Peter fastened his eyes on him, and Peter said, look on us. Look at Acts 3 and 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. He said, I don't have what you want, but I got what you need. I got the name of Jesus. I got the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, said, rise up and walk. And that man instantly stood up and he was healed and he went walking and leaping. I tell you, y'all have a leap. Glory to God. You ought to have some praise and some thanksgiving. You know, the world, they're not ashamed. They're not ashamed of what they do. Amen. They go out to the clubs and get drunk. They dance with everybody's wife but their own. And they get so drunk the next morning they don't know what they've done. Amen. And they're not so ashamed of it. They go talk about it on Monday morning. How do you know all that thing? Because I came out of corporate America. Used to go to some of the clubs. Used to go to the party. But something got a hold of me. Something got a hold of me. Hallelujah. I tell you, when he got a hold of me, woo! I never felt such joy. Never felt such peace. Never felt so clean in all my life. Thank God for the blood that washes, the blood that cleanses, the blood that heals. There's power, wonder-working power in the blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? That's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, oh evil, the victory win? Evil! The devil has come down, afflicting bodies and making people sick and breaking up homes and breaking up families. It's time for the church to become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a harvest of souls out there. God is interested in every one of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So there was healing in the early church. In Acts chapter 5, They brought the sick on couches and beds and put them in the streets of Jerusalem. You're talking about faith that even the shadow of Peter, when he passed by, would heal them, and they were all healed. Then in Acts 14 in Lystra, a cripple that had never walked, he heard Paul preach, and surely he must have said something about healing, because Paul perceived, he said, "I perceive that you have faith to be healed." And with a loud voice, he said, "Stand up on your feet." And the man leaped and walked. Hallelujah. You know, people, I don't know. I don't think they understand me sometimes. But I grew up in Pentecost. And I saw the power of God as a young boy. Now, if you get your big toe cut off, you're in trouble. Adonai Bezek, he would take and cut the thumbs. Everybody he captured cut the thumbs off of both their hands. They couldn't hold a sword. So he disabled them. And then he cut their great toe off, the big toe. And they couldn't walk. They had no balance. So they couldn't run to get away from him. He just disabled them, disarmed them. Overcame them. That's what the devil's trying to do. Amen. I cut my big toe and it was hanging on by the meat. I tried to figure out which one it was recently, and I can see a scar on both of them. But here's the medicine I got. They took kerosene oil, poured it on my foot. I was a little boy. Packed my foot in sugar. And the saints of God, my mother, my Aunt May, and some other saints that were from the church, they got in there and started praying for me. And look at me. Woo! Glory. I got good balance. I mean, I got good balance. I've got good balance. Hallelujah. The devil wanted to disarm me back then, so I couldn't praise God. He tried to disable me back then. But God. Somebody gonna say, but God. But God. But God. Hallelujah. Then on the 27th chapter of Acts, Paul's in that storm and he was pushed to the Isle of Malta. And Paul was received there, and the father of Publius, the chief deputy on the island there in Acts 28, Paul found out that he was sick of a fever and he healed him, and everybody on that island came and they were healed. And when Paul left to continue his journey, they loaded him down with goods. I tell you, God is a good God. Amen. You see, healing was in that church. Healing was present in the church in the book of Acts. Don't you want our church to be like that church? Number four is this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, he set gifts in the church. God has set some in the church with different gifts. And one of those gifts is the gifts of healing. Not just teaching, not just preaching, but we ought to have healing in the church. It ought to be a place where God is talked about, where God is preached about, where people can receive faith in their hearts. He said healing in the church. And as far as God is concerned, as long as the church is on this planet, there ought to be healing in the church. What kind of church do you go to? If you're watching by live stream, if you're watching by Facebook, God has you tuned in here today. Go to a church where they teach, preach, and heal in the name of Jesus. A place of deliverance. Amen. A place where sickness and disease are driven out by the power of the name of Jesus Christ. A place where heart disease can be healed. A place where arthritis can be driven out of a body. A place where Jesus shows up and generational curses are broken off of families. He said healing in the church. Did you know that the Great Commission given in Mark chapter 16, that Jesus, the last 11 words that he said, "In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." Did you know that Jesus, right before he departed, he said, "Oh yes, oh yes, don't forget the sick." He said, "Be like me, be like me. Don't forget the sick. Get the sick healed." And those are the last 11 words, according to the Gospel of John, that he spoke. "They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover." Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God has said it in the church. And then in James chapter 5, I want you to look at what the word says. James 5:14. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. That's why we have people, a prayer team. And I want the prayer team to come down and help pray for people. You know who you are. If it's in your heart, you're not been assigned, come on down. Hallelujah. You got gifts. I tell you, if God would only heal some and skip over this one and that one and skip over another, that scripture would not be in the Bible. Look at this. Is there any sick? James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith, that's why I'm preaching faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Amen. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. What a good God. What a gracious God. He said, I want your body healed. I want your mind healed. I want your emotions healed. I want your marriage healed. I want your life healed. And if you've sinned, just know this. If you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a great God. He wants us saved. He wants us healed. Hallelujah. So we pray for the sick and we have healing in this church. And you need to get these thoughts into your mind, church. You need to get them into your heart where the devil can't beat them out of you with a baseball bat. I'm telling you. That you know that he's Jehovah Rapha, your healer. That you know that he healed the people who came out of Egypt. That you know he said, I am the Lord, I change not. That you know that when Jesus came everywhere he went about doing good, healing all the people. That you know that the early church was a healing church and that God has set gifts of healing in the church. That you know that God wants you well. First of all, he wants you to be spiritually well. Secondly, he wants you to be emotionally well. Thirdly, he wants you to be physically well. He wants you well, and you need to know that. Rise up and defy the devil. Amen. Defy his sickness and disease. Resist him. Rebel against the devil and his disease, and he will flee for you. I've told him many times, get your hands off of my body. Get your hands off of my children. That's my daughter sitting right there. And if she gets sick right now, she's going to call me. I know that. If anybody in her family gets sick, they're going to call me. My daughter lives up in the mountains. She calls me. She says, Mother, may I speak to Daddy? God heal my family. God has kept us in great health. He heals my grandchildren. He's a great God. He'll heal anybody that will release their faith. Let us stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Baker, if you would zoom in on me. I want people that are watching by live stream. I want you to know that God wants to save you. God wants to heal you. Now, there are things that happen in this service once we go off of live stream in these altars that you never see on live stream. You never see the miracles. But while you're still watching, before we leave this social media, look at me. If you believe that Jesus had you tune in today and you're lost, if you will ask the Lord to come into your heart, he will save you. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you'll pray this, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I realize I'm lost. I realize I need a Savior. Come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. I believe you took my sin. I believe you're the Savior. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If you're sick out there, I release the law of the Spirit of life to you that's in Christ Jesus. And I say, be made whole. And I invite you to come out to Westmoreland and be a part of what God is doing in the church. God bless you and we love you in Jesus' name. The altars are open for anyone that wants to come. Sister Edith, She was one of the ladies that when I died at the old church and left my body, she saw me. Sister Eula Mae Brantley, she's already in heaven. But you saw it, and my wife saw it. And they said, I wonder if the pastor saw all of that glory, the light that was around him. Well, that light is on you right now. And that light is in your heart. And in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Great Commission, I release God's healing anointing. Woo! Take it. There it is. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your great miracle of healing and salvation. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Glory to God. Take it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I anoint you, Lord. When she was in the hospital and had pneumonia, Lord, before the doctors could get back to her on that Monday morning, God, they found nothing. X-ray showed she was healed. And Lord, whatever's tried to come against her body and keep her from walking in the glory and the anointing that you have purposed for her life, I release the blessings of God. Hi, take it. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. Yes, be healed. I command that leg to receive healing. God, you're healing that leg. It's getting better all the time. But loose it. I said loose it. Let it go in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I pray right now. Brother Baker, I want to make sure we're not on live stream anymore. Father, I pray. Lord, you know the need.